Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday, October 17th, the Warriors will face the Los Angeles Clippers in their final preseason game. So again, that's next Friday. The first 10,000 fans in attendance will receive a Jimmy Butler III and Buddy Hield Best Buddies bobblehead. I can't wait to see what this one looks like. Single game tickets are available at Warriors.com by calling 1-888-GSW-HOOP or at the Chase Center box office. Now joining us, Warriors assistant coach Terry Stotts, who again joins us on the River Islands guest line, as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Coach, good morning. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. It's the morning roast. Let me ask you this first and foremost. I know it's the preseason. I know the wins and losses, they don't count towards anything.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But you guys dropped 50 in the fourth quarter yesterday. That was pretty cool to see with some of those young players just, you know, trying to get some action. That was pretty cool.
That was exceptional. I mean, you're right about preseason and everything, but when you see the young guys get a chance to play and, you know, the game obviously wasn't going very well for us, and for them to turn things around and the way they played, the energy, making plays for each other, got the crowd back into the game. It was, you know, regardless of when it is, when you see something like that, it's pretty cool.
Coach, I got a random question to ask you. All right, middle of the game, you're sitting there next to Steve Kerr. What exactly is your task to be looking at on the floor while the game's going on? My mom's like, what does each coach do? I go, Mom, I don't know. I'm going to ask them the next time I talk to him. And she's like the guy who's sitting right next to Steve Kerr, like, is he supposed to be looking or thinking about something specific? What exactly is your duty sitting next to Steve Kerr for every single game?
Well, primarily, you know, I really focus on the offense, first of all. You know, Jerry Stackhouse and Chris DeMarco really focus on the defense. I focus on the offense. But at the same time, you know, I try and help them out with game management, whether it's substitutions or if I see something on the court or if I have an idea, you know, relay that to them. There's just so many things going through his head during the course of a game. I try not to clutter it, but if I have observations on the game or particularly the offense, I relay that to them and, you know, relay information, you know, timeouts or substitutions or matchups or something that they're doing, the opponents are doing defensively that we might be able to take advantage of. Just, you know, a variety of things. And actually, you know, being a former head coach, you know, I do have a kind of a head coaching perspective. And so hopefully I can add some insight along those lines as well.
So there was a couple of moments last night that were just, they always stick out of my head. Like, you know, they hit a free throw. Jonathan Kuminga goes to inbound the ball and like posts and pods, or I don't even know what happened. Kuminga just throws one away. What are you guys just pulling your hair out next to each other watching that?
Well, I'll be honest, you know, so that happened on the other end of the court. So all of a sudden we see that, you know, we lost the ball. And I really, at the time, you know, I might have been writing something down or I don't know what, but I didn't see what happened. So I watched it this morning on the game film. And, you know, it was just, I don't want to say it was careless, but Portland did a good job of picking up and pressuring. Mm. And, you know, we took it, you know, Quentin was going to get the ball and then he decided to go set a screen for BP and JK thought he was going to throw it to Quentin. So anyway, it was just, lack of certainty, you know, you just, when teams pick up, you have to be alert. And it's good that it's preseason. You just can't take possessions for granted, particularly when teams like Portland are being aggressive in the backcourt.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's a good teaching lesson for the entire team to kind of go through that, you know, over some point in the future. But then there was another one that was the reverse. So it's a high IQ play. I want to know, is this just the old guys being the old guys, or is this something that you guys install specifically? Jimmy inbounds the ball, throws it to Horford, who's kind of at the elbow extended, and then Steph comes up to set a screen as Jimmy comes back into the play, and both defenders kind of, oh, we're going to go hedge out onto Steph, and now Jimmy gets the favorable matchup and the little roll to the basket. Horford flips it over the top. Jimmy's got two simple free throws because they foul him. Those are the kind of high IQ plays fans just love, but is that something you specifically call from the sidelines, or is that the old guys just using their IQ?
You know, it's probably both. The play you're talking about was probably set up, you know, whether it was a split or a back screen or something like that, but then it's up to their basketball IQ to make the read and how the defense is playing it, and to make the correct read, whether it's the screen or whether it's the cut or whether it's the pass. You know, it's those guys, their IQ can see things happening in real time. So to answer your question, it's a little bit of both. We have a lot of plays that are set up like that, but it's up to the players to make the reads and make the final play.
Talking to lead assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors, Terry Stotts here, obviously former head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, who the Warriors defeated last night in their second preseason game. And a player we were talking about this morning for a while, Coach, was Brandon Pajemski. And we were discussing, you know, the next leap in evolution in Pajemski's game and debating what that is and what that could be. What do you think the next step in Pajemski's game is?
Well, you know, I don't know if you read the article in The Athletic, but, you know, I think BP was pretty open about what he needs to do. I think in his third year, obviously he had a good run at the end of last year in the starting lineup, and when we got Jimmy, and that lineup was really successful, and he was a part of it. You know, I think it's going to be incremental steps for BP. You know, being a leader, I think his role when Steph is not on the court is going to be very important, because, you know, when Steph's on the court, we're kind of Steph-centric, where things revolve around him. And but when Steph is out, BP is going to have a lot of responsibility to organize the offense, to, you know, get people and be more aggressive, you know, maybe as a scorer than when Steph is on the court. And then defensively, I think that's where he can make the biggest strides, as far as being able to pressure the ball and not get beat on the ball, and, you know, continue to improve on the defensive end, both as an individual and as a team defender.
You know, I'm always curious on these combinations that you guys are putting together. I know there's a lot of data, and you're just strategizing as a unit all together, the whole coaching staff, how to put them together. How difficult is it as a staff, as something's kind of slipping away, for you guys to stay the course and stick with the lineup, as opposed to, all right, we got to immediately make a quick substitution here? That's got to be a very difficult kind of push and pull for a staff, is it not?
Well, it is. I mean, not in preseason. In the regular season, you know, you kind of have your rotation where, and you got to be thinking down the road when you make substitutions. And I think it depends on how the game is going. You know, if it's a mild run, if it's a 6-0 run or an 8-0 run, you know, you can round up the troops and kind of figure it out. Because if something's happening in the first or second quarter, you still have to play the end game as far as minutes and things like that. But if you're talking about the third, fourth quarter, now you're getting closer to the game and say, okay, what's not working? We need to make a change. And the rotation probably goes out the window at that point. So it's a balance. You got to know your team as well. Like, you take Steph out for his blow, and, you know, maybe it starts going sideways a little bit. And, you know, the reaction is that we got to get Steph back in. But, you know, in the first half, you kind of have to trust things, and because he needs his rest. So you have to manage the game, and there's no one right answer. But I would say in the second half, you're a little bit more in tune to those lineups and combinations than, say, in the first half.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to just pick apart that second unit just in general the last couple of years, because they're not going to be as good as some of your starters. But what are you guys looking for aesthetically on both sides of the ball from that second unit, whatever the combinations might be? What's your vision for some of these guys off the bench?
Well, you know, that group had a really good practice 2 days ago. I mean, they played really well together. And I will say this, for preseason, we're going to see a lot of different combinations. So starting lineup may change. The second unit may change. We're playing, 16, 17 players. So I think it's a little different right now. But what we want is to basically have the same style of play, although Steph and Jimmy are unique in how they play and how we play with them when they're on the court. But, ideally, you have a style, and, if both of those guys out there, maybe it changes a little bit. But we do play differently with only one of them on the court. But I think it's important to just understand defensively, first of all, we have a system, and we are able to adapt. And I don't think that changes that much depending on who's on the floor. Offensively, where the points are going to come from, might change with the second unit. But I do think, especially with the addition of Al Horford, and you saw what Quentin Post did last night, when we have some spacing fives who can open up the court for JK and BP to do their thing on the second unit, I think that's going to be interesting for us.
Hey, Coach, we really appreciate the time this morning. Good luck the rest of the season. I know it's going to be here before we know it. That first game down at Crypto.com Arena against the Lakers. Good luck the rest of the preseason. Hopefully, no injuries, nothing like that. Everyone stays healthy, and we'll do it again more this season, Coach. Good stuff.
Always a pleasure talking to you guys. Have a good one.
There he goes. Lead assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors.
Wow.
Terry Stotts, obviously former head coach for a while over with the Portland Trailblazers, who the Warriors defeated last night. Some good stuff there, though.
Yeah, I was trying to ask more, hypothetical, just big picture type stuff, as opposed to how does Moody look?
No, for
how
sure.
does Kuminga look? It's too early, for those things.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.